the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Wednesday morning, the first day of summer. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Johnny Aber and David Dawson. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Of summer. Wow.
Woohoo.
That would explain the temperatures out there. Okay. Yeah.
I hope that doesn't mean it gets hotter, because I don't want that.
No. Will? Johnny?
Could.
I hate to disappoint
you. Okay. Well, you know, hope everyone is enjoying your summer so far. There's so much going on. In fact, there's vacation Bible schools going on everywhere. So all of you involved in that this morning, great job to teach our children, you know, about the Lord. So let's call our Lord this morning and call him up basically with prayer. Our gospel today even is about prayer. So that's how we should start and our day, and keep it going all day long. So let's pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O Lord, you taught us how to pray with simple humility and trust. We ask you now to lead us this day to seek you with a sincere heart, aware of our faults, but trusting in your mercy. Prepare our hearts that everyone we come in contact with today will experience the love that radiates from you, the most blessed Trinity. Prepare our minds, O Lord, that we may show others the way to you through the light of reason. And prepare our souls to accept all that you have revealed, so that we may one day see you in all of your glory. And we pray this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
We ask and call upon the intercession of Saint Aloysius Gonzaga. Pray for us.
Pray for us. Thank you so much, Johnny. Looking forward to your gospel reflection. That is coming up in about 5 minutes. But we're joined by Peter Finney today. He is the editor-in-chief of the Clarion Herald, which is the official Catholic newspaper of the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Today, Peter will be giving us an update on what you're going to be finding in this week's issue in the Archdiocese. In 35 minutes, Jessica Thornton joins us. She's a content manager over at Catholic Ventures to talk about the Lion and Lamb Children's Book Club for summer vacation. Mm. We've talked about Lion and Lamb before, and it is such a cool, it's a subscription box for your kids, a Catholic subscription box.
Yes,
and I know a few people who actually have the Lion and Lamb subscription, and they love it.
So the kids get like a little box. Is it once a month, or they get a little box?
With books.
With books and probably other little things too, if I'm not mistaken.
We'll be hearing more about this with Jessica. And of course, summer's a perfect time to continue with your reading.
Yeah.
We don't want to drop that, especially when we're getting ready for the next school year. But Jessica's going to give us details about this wonderful program. And in 48 minutes, Gary Mashuda joins us. He's a Catholic author, and he's going to be talking about his new book called The Gospel Truth, How We Can Know What Christ Taught. So great guest today. Looking forward to today's show. And of course, if you are watching us on Catholic Life Television, we're so glad that you are tuning in this morning. Facebook, YouTube, our app, the radio. And we want to thank all of our new Facebook followers, because we have quite a few new followers. Thank you so much for following Catholic Community Media on social media. We're so glad that you are tuning your heart to the truth with us this morning. So
Indeed.
Great times.
Now, we don't have our official weather out here, but that we a lot of us got a lot of rain and a lot of hail yesterday. In fact, I'm thrilled we're on the air. Huh, Gabby?
Me too. Yeah. Yeah, it was a little rough with the rain, but I know that our grass needed it and plants needed it, but I hope everyone stayed safe out there.
Yep.
So stay with us. We have your gospel and reflection coming up right after the break. It is 5 past the hour on Wake Up.
Thank you. good Wednesday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. Jesus said to his disciples, "Take care not to perform righteous deeds in order that people may see them. Otherwise, you will have no recompense from your heavenly Father. When you give alms, do not blow a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets to win the praise of others. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right is doing, so that your almsgiving may be secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites who love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on street corners so that others may see them. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go to your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. They neglect their appearance so that they may appear to others to be fasting. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you may not appear to others to be fasting, except to your Father who is hidden. And your Father who sees what is hidden will repay you."
Thank you, Father Chris Decker. Well, guys, you know, one thing that jumps out right away is that the Lord is saying when we pray, when we fast, and not if, but when. So he's expecting us, you know, he's waiting for us, in other words. You know, it's like a date. You wouldn't think of missing it, hopefully. But you know, what he's really asking of ourselves is why? Why are we doing this? Or rather, who are you doing it for? And that's made me think of myself, of course, and modern Pharisees, I guess. You know, here's some. So there's the couple who go out on a date, and the whole time, maybe she's posting, you know, where they are, you know,
and he's maybe winking. Of the food. Yeah.
He's winking and nodding at the waitresses, and there's a lot of bragging on their qualities, you know.
That sounds like a wonderful romance. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. They're dating themselves, you know, in other words. Upping their self-image or their profile. Then there's some who treat prayer or volunteering like a therapy, you know, as if standing on one leg or humming to the universe will somehow bring this so-called harmony, you know. Again, you just had a date with yourself, you know. Or even like when you go to a secular therapist at times, you know, you don't go there to see, you don't go there to pay attention to the therapist, is to talk about yourself, about themselves, right? And then you always agree with yourself and all these things. It's interesting. And then there's the modern one, about virtue signaling, a real Pharisaic kind of activity going on, where this is your publicly showing that you're morally outraged about some cause or some issue in order to feel good about yourself and to get some applause to clicks, you know. But in reality, that activist doesn't really, you know, care whether they're right or not, and they're really not that interested whether what they're doing actually will bring good to the people they're outraged about. There's a lot of hypocrisy in all these things. And so modern Pharisees, they come in many styles. But here's one that I saw yesterday that just blew my mind. There was a story about this chat box version of Jesus that uses artificial intelligence.
Uh-oh.
And what happens is fabricated Jesus kind of comes up and answers all your questions about anything you can think of.
Oh, not good.
From your hamster to your... It's weird.
Yeah.
And And the inventors of this group are, here's a quote, "They're by driven and ambitious volunteer activists to make a real difference in the world."
Whoa.
Unquote. Mm-hmm. You know, and of course, you just sit there, and the Lord's got to be just shaking his head and saying, you know, the real deal's right here.
Yeah.
I'm right here beside you, waiting with all the answers. I've already changed the world, you know, and I'm the one who can. So today, you know, the Lord is just so beautifully inviting us to himself, to give to us himself. He who is the source of love and for the sheer sake of love. And put another way, it's in a way Jesus is saying, look to me, be with me. I alone can give you what you need. Don't try to create your own image. I've already done that.
Mm-hmm.
Let me show you how good we can be. And here's the other thing, so the reward here. So do you ever notice that when you're around someone that is in deep, has a deep prayer life like that, and does what Jesus is asking of today. They're almost like this unseen, unheard, and they dress modestly, but they're like a magnet. You know, you can feel something, this deep stillness, this deep peace just emanates. It's like a perfume. And you, and when, and with that, you say, I want that, whatever that is, you know. It's not their invention. It's just the Lord abiding in that beautiful stillness that, that's right there among us. And I know I've been... I'm just drawn like a magnet to them. I've been blessed to come across those people. And I'd rather spend a minute with them than a whole day in a self-help section of a bookstore, you know?
Because
there's so many examples.
It's just contagious. Whatever they have is contagious, even if they're not talking. Right. Even if you're talking about dogs and cats, I don't know. You could, it, it just conveys. You just catch it, don't you?
Right. And Johnny, it was quite interesting when you were talking about AI and all of that. Not too long ago, actually, I saw this on the news. Some, I don't know what denomination of church it was, but a Christian denomination, but they had a sermon strictly written by AI software. And I just thought to myself how just like useless that was, right?
Yeah.
Because like you have a computer writing something that you're supposed to hear from God. I don't know. It just sounded very lifeless to me.
Sounds dangerous.
And it does sound very dangerous. Mm-hmm. So I think technology can be used for good, but sometimes there's just certain things that it should not be used for. And we're looking for something fruitful and wholesome. And, you know, that's why we love priests when they go and talk about a homily or talk about the gospel, because we get something out of it.
Yep.
But I don't know about getting something out of an artificial intelligence sermon.
It's like the ultimate echo chamber. It's just the, and we get, bad enough, we got a lot of voices in the world. We don't have to invent them, whatever, you know.
Right.
And I'm looking forward to it, especially our saint of the day today. What an example, Saint Aloysius Gonzaga, true example of a magnet when you read about his life. He shunned money, luxury, attention, and changed the world with a beautiful example and, with his life. And so many were drawn to it. Let's hope that that type of life is what radiates from us as we spend more time with the Lord, right? Let's make a date with him. He's waiting for us. Speaking of on the sideline, we got Peter Finney with Clarence Herald. He's going to be joining us next. Catch us up on what's happening. It is 4:15 on Wake Up. Be right back. You're listening to The Truth.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for June 21st. Today we celebrate Saint Aloysius Gonzaga. As a son of a princely family, Aloysius Gonzaga grew up in royal courts and army camps in and around Florence, Italy. His father envisioned a great military career for his son, but at age 7, the young boy experienced a profound spiritual awakening. By age 11, he was teaching catechism to poor children and fasting 3 days a week. After reading a book about Jesuit missionaries in India, Aloysius announced his desire to enter the Society of Jesus. It took 4 years for him to obtain permission from his father, who had more worldly dreams for his son. Finally, Aloysius was received into the Jesuit novitiate. He took to religious life quickly, and even had to be reminded to eat more and to take recreation with the other students. In 1591, a plague struck Rome, and the Jesuits opened a hospital. Because Aloysius nursed patients, washed them, and made their beds, he eventually caught the disease as well. Even after recovering, his fever persisted, and he could scarcely rise from his bed. Sensing that death was imminent, Aloysius maintained his great discipline of prayer. He died 3 months later, at age 23. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
18:15, you're tuning your heart to the truth on Wake Up. I'm David Dawson, along with Gabby Smith and Johnny Hebert. And right now we have Peter Finney. He's the editor-in-chief with the Clarion Herald, the official newspaper of the Archdiocese of New Orleans. And good morning, Peter.
Hey, good morning, David. How are you?
Fine. I'm really excited because you got in your arms just a whole bunch of trophies and awards, huh?
Well, you know, it's always, we don't do it for this, but it's always nice to be recognized by a national association. And last week at the Catholic Media Conference, which is held annually, this one was in Baltimore. We won 13 national awards.
13.
So,
Oh my goodness!
Yes.
Yeah, it was. And wow. The nice thing about it, David, was that it was a little bit of everything, and just about everybody on the staff who contributed won something. So it was really nice to be recognized, and it really went beyond the printed word. As you know the media is changing. You know,
yeah.
Radio becomes media. Newspapers become, you know, social media and videos, and
yep.
So we won for multimedia journalism and also for videos that we produce. So,
oh, wow,
we're trying to, you know, it's a, as you know, it's not an either or thing. It's not print or you
no.
know video or social media. It's both and.
Yes.
And so you have to do it all, and that's how the landscape has changed, and that's how you reach people. You reach people in different platforms, in different ways.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm right there with you, because, you know, you getting in your business was print. Me getting in my business was radio, and you see the landscape. You've got to reach as many people as possible, and we've just got to go in all those different directions, don't we?
That's right. And,
yeah.
and you know, just your example, your radio, it used to be a radio show, and now it's, you know, it's, it, and then it really essentially became, it's almost a TV show.
Oh, it
know?
Is
it's
a TV show.
You're
yes.
on,
that's
you're
right.
streaming. I mean,
yes.
it's like, so it's you're reaching people wherever they are on their phones.
Mm-hmm.
We have, for the last, I guess, really 2.5 years, the electronic edition of the Clarion has been available. Usually it's the Tuesday after we print. We print on a Monday. We send papers, we send the files.
Okay.
On Monday night, and then it gets printed, gets delivered on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But those electronic files are up right now, so people
okay.
can look at clarionherald.org and go to the e-edition and find it.
So they could do that as early as Tuesday evening? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, usually
wow.
Tuesday evening, and
okay.
You know, definitely it's up there right now. In fact, I'm looking at it right now.
Okay,
so it's a really great resource.
Okay, because while you got it up, I'm going to ask you some questions about it. So anyway, but let's talk about you. You have a story in here about a kidney transplant. This means a lot to me because my family we recently went through something like that. It's a beautiful, you know, they're all beautiful stories because of what people do. But talk about this one.
Yes. Well, Elizabeth Urson, she grew up in St. Angelo Merisi Parish. She's 46 years old. She started attending St. Peter Claver Church in Treme
mm-hmm.
just because she had heard a lot about the lively spirit of the liturgies, and she loved it. So she started kind of knowing a family in the next pew. She would go, you know, pretty much everybody has the same pew, you know, you go every
yeah,
Sunday.
Right.
And,
yep.
It was the family of Darren Harrison. Darren is 37, but now Darren doesn't attend St. Peter Claver. It was just his parents
mm-hmm.
and a couple of his daughters, the three of his daughters who are altar servers. And so they got to, you know, as you know, you get to meet people, and he learned from Darren's parents that Darren was in late stage kidney failure and was really needed a kidney transplant.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "Well, I'm gonna, you know, I'm going to go take a test for it," and obviously she matched.
Wow!
And she said, "I'm going to give you my my kidney." And so all this happened within the last several months, and Darren is now off of dialysis, and he's got the gift of life.
Wow!
And, they didn't know each other. She just knew Darren through his family at church, and she decided, "I'm going to donate." So it's just a wonderful story about what organ donation can do for someone.
Oh, it's amazing.
And, you know, giving them a gift of life.
And how's Elizabeth doing? She's doing all right as well?
She's doing great.
Okay.
Yeah, she said a little discomfort, you know, a couple
yeah.
days after, but she was back to her normal routine. She said all she has to do is really drink a lot of water.
Yeah.
And the doctor said, just drink a lot of water, but she's doing fine.
It's amazing. It
wow.
is just amazing. I love these stories.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's something that I had gone through with my wife's side of the family, and I just
yeah.
loved it. It was and modern medicine and all they're doing. You know, speaking of modern, and we were just talking about this topic because it could be scary or it could be useful. But you got an article on artificial intelligence.
Oh man, I tell you, you know, at the conference there was a whole talk. Sister Rose Picotti from she's with the Daughters of St. Paul, and she's a media analyst, and she talked about the real the possibilities, but also the dangers of artificial intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody does want to get a little creepy, you know, it's like when the last time the Pope was in the hospital, two days after he got out of the hospital, there was a video of him in his white vestments playing basketball on the basketball court, going in and dunking. And it looked just like the Pope. And, and that's what artificial intelligence can do. So you talk about fake news, you just don't know.
You don't know what's real anymore, right?
Yeah. You don't know what's real, which is why trusted media like Catholic Community Radio, like the Clarion Herald, I think it's going to help in our cases because people trust us and there's a trust factor. But artificial intelligence can do a lot of things. It can you know, bring a lot of information together at one time, but it's also you have to be able to trust the source of where you're getting information. How do you figure that out? Are schools teaching media literacy? They really need to be teaching media literacy. And so that's kind of like her point. And she said, really, we have to be vigilant and really careful about what we're, how we're absorbing media, especially today when things are so polarized. You just don't know if it's true or not.
Oh, you don't. Right. And I think what scared me the most is earlier Johnny was talking about where they had an artificial intelligence Christ giving counseling, Johnny?
Yeah, that's right.
You know,
that's
for people who had questions. Oh, man, that's...
It's scary. Mm-hmm. And you could just go on ChatGPT and just type, give me a... tell me something. Tell me something about me, stuff about your life is going to come up. I mean, it's incredible.
In 5 seconds, it's fun to play around with. I have to say that. Because when I first did it, I was like, what is happening?
Really?
You just say, give me 5 facts about, Our Lady of Mercy Parish in Baton Rouge, and boom, there it is. 5 seconds.
Oh,
five
my
facts.
Goodness.
Yes.
Okay.
You know.
And, the teachers now, I mean, write an essay. Okay, is it okay? Well, this is pretty good work, you know? Are you Shakespeare? You know?
Yeah.
That's
right. I don't know where we're going with it, but be careful.
Right. Well, let's get into, let's change topics here. We're going to talk about the Ignatian Volunteer Corps. Talk about that.
Yes, sometimes seniors who are retired want to know what are they going to do with their quote-unquote spare time, because they're experts, but they kind of like, well, I'm home now, what can I do?
Yeah.
And they still have a feeling that they want to give. And the Ignatian Volunteer Corps, very interesting concept, they're asking seniors who are retired to donate maybe 1 or 2 days a week for a couple of hours at a time, and they will hook you up with a specific ministry that they are involved with to kind of, where you give back. And it's really, it's a wonderful thing. They're looking for more senior retirees to get in touch with them. But they do great work, and Becky Goff is the director. And if anybody is interested in just finding out a little bit more about it, you can email her, Becky, at neworleans@ivcusa.org.
ivc.usa.org. Oh,
well,
Ignatian Volunteer Corps. Yeah, okay.
.org, yeah. All Ignatian Volunteer Corps. And she can answer any questions.
Okay, and what type of volunteer work is this? I mean, some of the categories?
They do everything from actually Loyola University has a food pantry for students who need food. They do tutoring at schools.
Oh,
they do
nice.
Other kinds of interaction with young kids to help them with their studies.
Yeah.
And in a vast array of ministry opportunities.
Okay, great. And last but not least, you got a bridal registry, 12-page bridal registry.
it's always good. You can get the basics. You can the church information. How do I call and find out about what times could I have a church for my wedding? Also the marriage preparation chart for the archdiocese. The archdiocese requires like a 6-month preparation time. And there's also individual articles about there's this one church, St. Mary's Assumption in the Irish Channel, which is a beautiful church.
It is.
Associated with Blessed Silos.
Right.
And talked about a couple that got married there who in their 70s. It was their second marriage. Both their spouses had died.
Wow.
It was a cute little story. So good stuff.
That is fantastic. Peter Finney, where can they, wait a minute, I got to ask you what your favorite article was. I almost left that out.
Oh, I don't. Actually, I thought that the kidney donation story is
that
always
is awesome. Just,
Christine Bordelon did that. It's a beautiful story.
I thought sure you were going to say it was all those awards y'all won. Okay. Well, anyway, congratulations, Peter Finney. And where can they pick up the Clarion Herald?
You can get it at church in the Archdiocese of New Orleans this weekend, every church, or you go online, as we said, at clarionherald.org.
It's that easy. Clarionherald.org, or just pick one in the back of church. All right, Peter Finney, thank you for joining us again.
Thank you so much, David.
All right. God
thank
bless.
You. All right.
It's no coincidence that they won those awards, guys. I mean, that is...
13 national awards? Wow.
Yeah. And I mean, beautiful. And the different articles that they have all throughout the whole thing, it's very engaging. So, great. Well, when we come back, Gabby's guest is going to talk about a book club for kids. Stay tuned on Wake Up.
It is 35 past the hour. You're listening to Wake Up This Morning. Thanks for tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Johnny Abair and David Dawson. Our next guest today is Jessica Thornton. She is the content manager over at Catholic Ventures. Today we're talking about the Lion and Lamb Children's Book Club, especially for summertime, summer vacation, your time off. Jessica, thank you so much for being with us today to talk about this.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here. I have family in Baton Rouge.
Hey. Oh, great. All right. It's a great place to be. Well, and Jessica, I love talking about anything that has to do with books. One of my favorite activities to do as a family is go to our public library. I've been going to the library since I can remember. It's one of my favorite places to be, and I love reading any time of the year, and especially in the summertime when the brains are just mush and it's kind of between the last day of school and the first day of school. We have to get the kids still engaged. So tell us a little bit about the Lion and Lamb Book Club.
Well, the Lion and Lamb Book Club is a children's book subscription box, and it's books chosen specifically for Catholic kids, but not all of the books are totally Catholic. I mean, there are secular books in there, but all of the books are, none of them will be offensive to a Catholic. None of them will have anything against church teaching. All of our heroes are striving for virtue, whether or not it's in a Catholic setting. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
Yes, it does. So how it's a subscription box, and of course, many of us have those subscription boxes maybe for our family or for ourselves, but this one is specifically for children. So very exciting, I'm sure, when they get their package in the mail for themselves. I know as a kid, I felt like just a queen when I actually got a letter in the mail. But let's talk about how often it arrives at our doorstep.
Sure. So it's a quarterly subscription, and we designed it to arrive around the liturgical seasons. So the first box of the year came out for Lent and Easter. Then we did a summer box that just launched, kind of for summer through August. Then we're going to have a fall box, and then we'll have one just for Advent and Christmas. But the box comes four times a year, or you could sign up for a one-time box, or you could send a gift subscription, or you could send that one-time gift box as well. Suppose you have somebody making their first communion. This would be a great gift. The box itself has 3 to 5 books in it, plus other goodies, stickers, holy cards. Sometimes there's a tiny saint charm. Cool. We try to vary it up every season.
This is exciting. I got excited when you were talking about what we could find in the subscription box. So what are the age groups?
Okay, so Duckling is for our youngest readers, even though they don't read. These are books for the lap child or storybooks to read to a child. There's a lot of board books in there. It's 0 to 4. There's some wordless picture books, Lift the Flap, things to engage toddlers, hopefully at Mass or just for that special story time. Then there's the Lamb box. It is ages 5 to 8. This is for a child who can sit for a longer plot-driven story, Also for early readers, there might be some early chapter books in there, but nothing too long for you to sit down and read with your child. Then the Lion Box is ages 9 to 12. So this is the longer chapter books, maybe some nonfiction, more intense stories about saints, and some longer classics as well.
This is very exciting. So how much does it cost to participate in the subscription boxes?
The subscription boxes, the website shows it's $200 to subscribe for the whole year. Less than that, it's $55, or you can just sign, you know, if you want to get billed quarterly, it's $55 a quarter. And definitely we try to cram as much retail value in there. Mm-hmm. We understand families are strapped for cash, and the public library is an option. However, I don't know if your library looks like mine at this time of the year. It's not always the safest place for a Catholic child to find their books.
Yeah,
I understand. And but that's I know that we always have a conversation with our son, because there's stuff in the library, even when we're not in the month of June, that you can find that's not what you're looking for. But of course, it's a public library, so it's kind of a no surprise there. But Jessica, right. I think this is great, you know, especially for parents who really want to teach their children the Catholic faith, especially at a young age. I think it is so important. Even for the children who don't know how to read quite yet, like you said, the lap child, talk about the importance of reading to your children, especially during the summertime. I know sometimes you kind of don't want to. You kind of want to be in front of a screen. You don't want to do work, you know, for a kid. But the importance of continuing to do that and read something like a book over the summer.
So that's like a many-pronged answer right there, but as a former teacher, I know that summer reading is huge in retention. So kids mm-hmm. lose so much of what they learned during the school year, during these vegetative summer months, and summer reading really does help your brain stay active and helps you retain all of those facts and all of those methods you've learned during the school year. The studies have proven this over and over again, and that's why libraries are really driven to have wonderful summer reading programs. Then I just read an article recently about the importance of reading to people, and I find that for myself and for my own kids, it is a gift of time that you're not always going to have time for this, for these moments where you're just going to sit together and dive into a story and share the moment and maybe discuss the story. And it's going to be a really special time with your child. And then someday they're going to say something like, do the voices, Mom. Don't forget the voices. And it's going to be a memory, like my kids call it, a core memory for them. I remember my mom mm-hmm. reading to me. I love when my husband reads to my kids. And even today, I have an adult son, this is totally off topic, who was in a pretty serious car accident, and he's bedridden, and I am reading to him again, and he still loves it.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Well, I will be keeping your family in prayer, and you're absolutely right. I remember my son would always pick up the same hardcover baby book that was just falling apart, but he wanted me to read it over and over and over again. Reading is so important, especially during the summer. It just does something to you, I think. And I really didn't understand it until I became an adult. So tell us one more time, Jessica, how we can subscribe to the Lion and Lamb Children's Book Club.
Sure. You just go to catholic.store. And it should come up on the landing page, but if it doesn't, there's a little search bar at Lion and Lamb. Or if you Google Catholic.store, Lion and Lamb, you're going to find it all over the internet.
I think this is wonderful, and it especially teaches our young children about our faith in a way that they can understand. I love this, and I fully support this. Thank you so much, Jessica, for being with us today. Jessica Thornton, content manager over at Catholic Ventures. I posted the link for the Lion and Lamb Book Club subscription box in the comment section for today's Facebook Live video. Thank you so much, Jessica.
Thank you.
All right. You know, we have those food subscriptions.
Yeah.
We have our, you know, other household subscriptions that we get, you know, just different things.
What a great gift, though. I'm thinking of grandbabies.
This is a great gift.
You know, for me, I'm thinking of sending your grandbabies, because you can trust what's coming in that box. you know?
Right.
Yeah, and they love stories.
They do.
That's the thing. And if you can put your faith into a story, they will remember that, and they'll want to hear it over and over again.
Yeah, yes. some of the stuff I believe she mentioned isn't even Catholic or spiritual, but it's just good literature. And mm-hmm. I mean, that's all I want them to read. They're missing out on a whole lot of stuff if they're not able to pick up a book and read. I know that I've seen my own kids, we'd bring them to the library and they'd just get lost, you know, and yeah, we'd find like them sitting around reading books.
She homeschools six, so she's had a long history of picking out these books. So that's a comfort to know that she is picking them out, you know.
And you get stickers.
Yes. And charms.
Gabby would just go for the stickers.
The box just sounds like so much fun.
Yeah.
I think for the whole family.
Right.
So
right.
I got excited. definitely check that out. Stay with us. Gary Masciuto, a Catholic author, joins us when we return from the break. It is 45 past the hour on Wake Up.
Past the hour on this first day of summer, and the Lord continues to bring the heat. Good kind of heat.
Oh, man. Oh, okay.
Well, you know, we're really pleased this morning to have back with us Gary Masciuto. Gary is an instructor of apologetics for Homeschool Connections, the host of Hands-On Apologetics on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And Gary's with us this morning to talk about his latest book, because he's had a series of great books. And this one is The Gospel Truth, How We Can Know What Christ Taught. So good morning, Gary. Good to have you with us.
Good morning. It's great to be with you.
Yes, yes. So this topic, just the title kind of draws you in. But let's start first off with Gary with some basic history. You know, there's been a lot of scholarly books that show the Gospels were written, you know, closer to the actual events than the vast majority of other historical documents. And while that's not the topic or the focus of the book, it is important, right, that the Gospels were written by and within the very community that witnessed these events, you know, rather than, say, some later historians removed in place or time. So how important is that basic setting, first of all, Gary?
Yeah, that's very important because, your guest just a little while ago, you were talking about how there's many news outlets and, you know, how can you trust your sources? And especially if the Gospels were written a long time after the time Jesus was on earth, well, there could be legends that creep in. There could be all sorts of things that probably aren't true mixed in. I think a lot of young people today, that's kind of their view of the Gospels, that it's just a bunch of legends and stories and there's no real factual basis. Well, one of the components, like you pointed out, is the dating, that the Gospels actually date very close to the times they record. So you simply don't have, you know, that lapse of time where you could have legends and other, you know, hagiographic additions to the stories.
Yeah, and I was curious too, you know, so now we can trust the overall reliability, you know, historically. How do we know it's accurate in terms of everything Jesus said and did? There's fantastic miracles in there, and it's not some nostalgic memory or some subjectiveness going on here of some interpretation. I mean, is there anything in there from a literary standpoint, indicators, styles, corroboration that gives us confidence in terms of the accuracy of the Gospels?
Yeah, in fact, this is where I think my book stands apart from many books on that, is it, even if they are written close to the time of Christ, how do you know it's not fabrication? How do you know that they truthfully tell what's storing in? It's not an embellishment or an exaggeration. Right. And, you know, at that point, I think that's probably the more interesting question. So what I do in my book is I look at the Gospels, and I find that Jesus taps himself into a culture that already is interested in passing on large amounts of information accurately from generation to generation through rabbis to their disciples. And Jesus plugs into this network, And when you look at the Gospels closely, what you find, and what I do in my book is I show that there's layer after layer of, I call it, it's like encoded for accurate recall. The information is put there in the Gospels in such a way that someone could memorize it and someone could accurately recall it. Like, for example, if I said Mary had a little lamb, I'm sure you could fill in the rest of the line, right?
Right.
Because Mary had a little lamb is specially formatted. And you find that kind of stuff throughout the Gospels. There's multiple layers. And so if it's a fabrication or a fraud or an embellishment, why go through all that trouble to encode, as you will, the Gospels in such a way?
Right, right. What other common sense type things are there that just jump out to you? I mean, one thing like comes to mind is the apostles sure don't seem to be bragging on themselves. So there's not the motive here to kind of it kind of escapes you. So true. And then there's these zingers that just come out way, it's like, wait a minute, that could not have been fabricated. But what other types of things other than these literary type embedded things you mentioned, Gary, are there that just smack of authenticity?
Yeah, well, one thing that really struck me that a lot of people miss is if this actually happened, the one sure way we know that the accounts are truthful is if someone verified it. And what I find throughout the Gospels is that the Gospels expect people to verify the facts. In fact, in some ways, they almost dare us to,
Yes.
A great example, like the Bread of Life discourse. Jesus says, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. Then all of a sudden, the narrator jumps in and says, these things were said while he was preaching at the synagogue in Capernaum. Well, why would it give us this little factoid about where, and who the audience was, if not to basically tell the readers, hey, if you doubt that Jesus actually said this, go to Capernaum, ask the people at the synagogue, they can confirm it. So you have these little dares to verify, throughout the Gospels. Right. And you also have the fact that there's even indications that they were verified, like Luke, when he, at the very beginning of his Gospel, he says that lots of people have taken to themselves to write narratives, and I investigated everything accurately and knew. So he verified the contents of his Gospel. And, of course, Luke is extremely close to the events that occurred.
Wow, yeah. We're talking with Gary Mishuta, and the book is The Gospel Truth, How We Can Know What Christ Taught. We got about a minute left, Gary. I wanted to ask you this question. So how do we know that those original manuscripts and the codexes, if you will, weren't tampered with over the centuries? In other words, what we're reading today is reliable?
Yeah, well, thanks be to God, the early Christians, as they spread, made many, many copies, and we have 5,000 plus copies of the scriptures. And so it's really a process of comparing these various manuscripts together. And that's how you can find out what the original is. Because, if there's an error, it kind of sticks out like a sore thumb. Mm. And that basic methodology you could use for other things too, like how do we know that we have the correct interpretation? Well, you could look at the early church fathers and see if there's an agreement, let's say, on whether Christ is really present in the Eucharist or whether baptism regenerates. So the copies we have today are, I think it's in the upper 98 percentile that is accurate to the original.
Wow, that's stronger than maybe Socrates or events. Well, Gary, so where can we get a copy of the book, and what level group would you think the book would be for? Who would be aimed toward?
Yeah, you could get it at stpaulscenter.com, and it's aimed, I think, probably a high school student and above. I wrote it with the idea that the person doesn't believe in the Gospels and they're skeptical, and I think it's approachable for them and for adults as well.
Wonderful. The Gospel Truth, How We Can Know What Christ Taught. Thank you, Gary, for this wonderful contribution.
Mm-hmm. No, thank you so much for having me.
You bet. Mm-hmm. You bet, Gary. Have a great day. Well, guys,
that is so necessary nowadays. You know, the truth's getting twisted all the time, and things are getting watered down, and somebody showing, no, this is the real deal. Yeah, I'm going to get this book.
Mm-hmm. We can rely on it. Mm-hmm. Let's call on our Lord in prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Lord, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, Lord, today you reminded us that your word is trustworthy, enduring the passage of time, place, and culture, deserving of all of our devotion. With confidence in your grace and filled with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, grant us the courage to become your true disciples, bringing comfort, healing, and joy to all we meet this day for the glory of your name. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Have a wonderful Wednesday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.